This is a National Museum of Australia recording. For more information, visit nma.gov.au/audio.
Can we move to the last session before afternoon tea, in which we have the treat of Doug Hall, former director of the Queensland Art Gallery and now Australian Commissioner for the Venice Biennale, who will talk about a portrait of Bob Edwards. Doug, thanks.
Firstly, thank you very much for the organisers for the invitation to be here and to speak and say some words about Bob. And may I also congratulate them, the organisers and the speakers, on the tone, because there is a very fine line between a tribute and obituary, and they have certainly walked a strident path with the former. It's a moment of serendipity here because with this portrait recently commissioned by the National Portrait Gallery, and the person that commissioned it here is Michael Desmond, I was asked, and I was honoured to be asked to write something about it for their magazine, and which I did. And I've known Bob for about 30 years, and the photographer, John Elliott from Queensland, I'd known for about a quarter of a century. And neither of them had met before at all. And before I talk about the nature of that meeting, when I knew this image was coming up, I was... there he is there, much closer. I was thinking of the words that have been said this morning to describe Bob Edwards and all the generous and entirely accurate superlatives to profile his temperament and his personality. And I wondered when, if people saw this, had not heard the words or didn't know the man, the extent to which this commission would reflect and echo Bob's particular temperament. And the more I thought about this image and I thought about the kindness of what people have said, and then coming, as it were, to this work unencumbered by any previous knowledge, I felt that it's a work that conveys... the necessary profile and portrait of Bob. And I think we've all heard descriptions that he's kind of at the forefront of everything and longs to be in the background of most things. And I think that this particular portrait shows that idiosyncratic poise of Bob, and also shows a man that's very much at ease with himself and at ease with others. What I would like to do is follow up on a couple of things that have been highlighted this morning and to amplify those points about the generosity, his mentoring, and I'm certainly one that's the beneficiary of that. I recall when the trustees... in either their misguided pursuit or with their profound wisdom thought that appointing me at 33 years of age to the directorship of the gallery might be a good idea, who should they ring but ring Bob? And he told them, yeah, it's a risk all right, but it's an acceptable risk. And of course the council erred on the side, the trustees erred on the side of Bob Edwards' wiser counsel. People have talked about the reach of Bob's interests as well, and I certainly know that not only through the professional association that we've had, but he's a wonderful travelling companion as well. I've never travelled anywhere with anyone or had a friend that is actually interested in everything, and that's very much Bob's temperament. And to have that kind of trait and a deep sense of public responsibility and a profound sense of institutional obligation is a kind of trifecta which does the kind of things that Bob has been able to achieve. And in doing this, he's a very stoic temperament. I've travelled with him, although I'm thankful there was one occasion when I didn't, when he was returning from a field trip returning to Adelaide, either from South Australia or Western Australia, when the pilot sort of, he noticed the plane going up and then levelling out, a button being switched, which was the autopilot, and the pilot, a real one, passing out and prodded him, and there was no conscious pilot. And Bob is sailing along, looking at the wonderful panorama of the Australian landscape in a cerulean blue sky, literally on autopilot, and wondering when this is going to end. It did, through a blur of a spectacular landing, but nonetheless, it kept him with us and the achievements that he's done. Look, whether he's been mugged in Moscow while negotiating Russian gold and silver, whether we went from, I think we flew from St. Petersburg to Paris and ended up in the wrong country, which was Helsinki, we don't know, but the plane did a U-turn and took off again. His unerring caution, his unerring attention to detail and fastidious memory meant that when we went to America, he travelled with Grange Hermitage because we were going to see Patrick McCackie to borrow the Van Gogh self-portrait. The loan was secured and the wine was drunk. But it is, as people have said, look, it's entirely true that museum directors have all found that with Bob, it can be a bit like moving in to your own home and suddenly finding he's the most comfortable piece of furniture. He does make himself inseparable from the life of the institution and the people that that work in them. I guess the final thing I'd like to say is perhaps trying to encapsulate all that's been said this morning, because a lot has been spoken about what Bob has done, what he's achieved, and his unique and extraordinary personality and temperament. And I was thinking of two things, and including one term that hasn't been mentioned, and I'll come to that in a moment. But I was reminded a few years ago when I was invited to give a keynote address to the Association of American Art Museum Directors, and it was on the institutional activity with contemporary Asian art. But it quickly changed to their fascination, bewilderment and admiration of the way in which Australian institutions had simply incorporated Indigenous art and culture into the life of the stories and the art of art museums in Australia. And they were curious to know what kind of debate had preceded that and what kind of discourse had taken place. And I thought about it and realised that it was something which kind of happened. I mean, I wondered whether it happened through a deeper moral purpose that consumed us in institutions. It was certainly something that was part of the life of institutions, that is, the discussion about the inclusion, representation, both within exhibitions and collections of Aboriginal art, and the ease with which Australians embraced that. That was something the Americans were fascinated with, and something some of them have done something about, more so in Canada than in the United States itself. And in thinking about what people have said today, I realised that the kind of wellspring for that, if we're going to find it in any particular person or institution, it's in fact Bob Edwards. So we've talked about what he's done, but this is the way he thinks and conceptualises things. And it's that activity and his ability to be a brilliant conceptualist, which is to understand that the various parts that make the whole have a wonderful arc, and he represents that arc which has embraced so much, and it has changed both the perceptions of Australia and Australian culture. It has advanced the representation of Indigenous culture in museums and art galleries to the extent that it has shaped a particular discourse happening in American museums at the moment. That is a very profound contribution to have made. The other one term that I'd like to mention is the much cited term cultural diplomacy and its various manifestations. If we are to think of that term being given genuine expression, then Bob's its exemplar. And we've heard about that today, and people have talked today again about the relationship with China, and Neil this morning indicating that perhaps the Chinese were more surprised at us when they looked at the reaction that the exhibitions have generated. So, I mean, he's brought into effect great ideas. He is, in terms of cultural diplomacy and Indigenous representation, we think of cultural diplomacy more or less as a kind of thing that the British Council or the Goethe Institute undertakes, whereas Bob has actually understood it in a much more complex way, which is representing in very sophisticated and intelligent ways and acting as a carrier for the advocacy for Indigenous people. But he has also ensured, of course, that the inseparable connections between public institution, the way in which their best interests are served by public officials, in other words, politicians and government representatives, and the sympathy and empathy others may have had for being so far south of the equator, somewhat west, I think the term was, of French Oceania, being able to place us in the consciousness of others is really quite profound. Now, Bob is, as we know, modest, humble, and I suspect today has caused him certain degrees of discomfort. There might have been, on occasions, even some pain and some inward grimacing. And that's a good thing, because that portrait shows the kind of sensitive fellow that he is. But I was also reminded this morning, when someone mentioned or talked about the Magnificent Seven and the Shogun as part of the executive management team at the Melbourne Museum in Bob's formative days there, and I was reminded of that Japanese koan. When you hear the word prisoner here, you might think of curator or director poised to receive a loan request or a recalcitrant politician about to receive representations. It's the story of Bob, I guess, like that koan. It was the shogun that bragged about to his prisoner that his sword was so sharp that he would not feel the pain of execution. So the executioner raised his sword and brought it down, and its sufferer said, "Okay, what are you waiting for?" And the shogun replied, "Nod." That's the canny effect that Bob can have, the persuasion that he has when politicians grimace in advance of the inevitable pain and suddenly find that he's left with $1 million in their pocket. So, Bob, warmest congratulations. And I still think it's fair to say that after all these years and not having any direct professional contact, we try and not let a few weeks go by too often when we don't speak to each other or catch up. It's been a great day and an honour to be here and celebrate your achievement. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Doug, and thank you all, speakers, panellists and yourselves, for that session. We're off to afternoon tea now. Before I do send you off to afternoon tea, can I thank the National Portrait Gallery for providing this wonderful image of Bob at such short notice.
The National Museum of Australia in Canberra explores what it means to be Australian through our permanent galleries, exhibitions, public programs and the National Historical Collection. Find out more about the museum at nma.gov.au or download more audio programs from nma.gov.au/audio.